into the happy hour. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matthew Scraby, 5:01 on the clock. Finishing up our big five that is carried over.
I didn't plan for this, guys. Did not plan for the carryover today, but it's here, and we're going to embrace it, okay? So let's get back into it. Juan Soto. The question was not about Juan Soto. The question was being asked because it was brought up that Juan Soto went to the Mets because the Yankees wouldn't give him a free suite for the duration of his contract.
Has Cashman ever confirmed that? Did his ownership ever confirm that? Is that still
Scraby doesn't need a confirmation if it's something negative about Juan Soto.
Okay, good point. Fair enough. Go ahead. I digress. Go ahead.
Chris, do you have an issue with the Yankees not giving suites and contracts?
First of all,
ridiculous.
Yeah,
question.
I know. It really is.
Hey, you guys told me it was ridiculous when I said that players wouldn't go to the Yankees if they couldn't grow a beard, and look what happened. They rescinded the rule because of that very problem.
I understand the Yankees not wanting to do it. If it's all true and Juan Soto really asked for it and the Yankees said no, and then Juan Soto said, well, then I'm leaving, and went across town. So if all that's true, fine. But if you didn't give one to Derek Jeter and you didn't give one to the next guy in the I do. I think it's kind of hard to say, yeah, we're going to give one to this particular guy.
All right.
But the Yankees are doing a lot. Not only have they put the beard back in, which means you're now eligible to be a Yankee, Scrabe.
No, you're not.
Well, I know, if he had any talent.
The other thing, listening to anything.
No, you said, yeah, you Chris, said. We talked about the beard thing. Like, well, I was looking for Brian Cashman's quote on the whole thing because
I wasn't here for beard talk on Friday.
Oh.
But the other thing they did is they're not going to play New York, New York, Frank Sinatra after they lose a game anymore.
Second time I've been able to prove my point here.
How did you prove what point?
Wait, what's your point?
From December 11, 2024, Brian Cashman speaking with the media. Brian Cashman said he has no regrets with how Juan Soto negotiations played out and doesn't think the Yankees could have done anything differently. He also said he does not believe Soto's request for a suite nor a reported issue with the club security played any part. Quote, some high-end players that make a lot of money for us, if they want suites, they buy them. End quote. Boom.
Chakalaka.
For the second time today, baby!
I just asked you if he ever commented on that.
I know you did. But I just want to prove it because Chris is in the room and he has
doubts
in me.
First of all, stop taking credit for the first one. Your point is not proven on the first one. I'm sorry. I don't care what you have to say. Anyway, my turn?
Yes.
Now?
Do you have any problems with the Yankees not giving suites out to players?
No. As Cashman said, most everybody I know who's got a suite, they got to pay for that. Now, maybe there's maybe some do discounted rates. I don't know, but mostly everybody's got to pay for those. I mean,
they can certainly afford them.
There's a reason why they are ownership. They operate under a different system. You know, they need that cheese for those seats. So
I agree.
Those owners don't have enough money.
I'm not mad at that at all.
Not only are you giving, say, Juan Soto, $760 million, but then you're losing all the money on the 15 years of free suites that he's getting as well. I mean, it doesn't make business sense.
That seems a little bit far-fetched.
Thank you, Dan, for saying. Go ahead.
Especially when you know that people will buy those seats.
Yeah. Dan says, 2-0 today, champion, Scraby. Thank you very much,
Dan.
Nah,
you ain't 2-0. You 1-1. You ain't Dan. 1-1.
All right, now this one is for a good cause, but it's also kind of interesting. We see a lot of sports memorabilia auctioned off, no matter how weird the item is. Well, Adrian Wojnarowski has taken it to a new level for a good cause. He is auctioning off many items he used throughout his reporting career at ESPN. He's auctioning press badges, IDs, and the many iPhones he used throughout his career. Currently, I gotta go look at the website real quick once again, because currently, the highest offer on an iPhone right now is $750, and it was the very iPhone that broke the NBA suspending the season for COVID tweet from that phone is what he's auctioning off. So he's doing this to raise NIL money for the St. Bonaventure basketball team, where he currently works as the GM of the team. There are also like video chats you can buy and other things, but the cell phones are the main items. Tony, would you want to take home a part of history in a
No, I wouldn't. That personally. No, I'm not into that kind of thing. But I think it's a great idea. I like totally. That he's got creative on this to find a way to raise money for his NIL and his college program. I personally don't want, you know, the COVID phone or any of the badges or, you know, any of that stuff. But I can see why it would be appealing to someone to go get something.
It literally is a paperweight.
Yeah. No, I mean, what are you doing with it? Hanging around your neck?
It doesn't even
work. In your pocket?
I don't know that it doesn't work, but he also has an iPhone used to break Paul George Kawhi to the Clippers. He has an iPhone that was used for his farewell tweet. He also has an iPhone used for the 2023 draft lottery and draft with Wemby. So that one's not going for very much. $250.
You're Chris? Going off the subject here. The idea was, do you like what he's doing here? Right? Is that the question? Or is the question,
well,
would
I said,
buy
would
this?
You want that? Yeah, but... Because I think we all like what he's doing.
You know,
here.
I wouldn't buy this. I don't like any of that stuff. But having said that, I have it's in like a cup. I have like credentials from it's not on display is what I mean. It's in a plastic cup. There's a few of them in there. But I have a credential from like the Lakers Pistons finals of 1988. So I think it's kind of neat to have it, I guess, but I don't show it off. I have a few of those. But I like what he's doing here. He's raising money for something that he needs the money. I mean, look, St. Bonnie doesn't have the same NIL money as other schools. So I like people that are creative. And, you know, this is a little different, but we talked about it a couple of days ago. You heard about the Illinois kid who had his jersey retired, Tony, and they hung it upside down in the rafters.
Terrence Shannon Jr., I believe.
Did you hear about that?
I did not.
Oh, yeah.
I saw it, but I...
Okay, so they dropped his number down, and it was upside down. Yeah. Well, he created a T-shirt out of that, and he said, when life turns you upside down, get back up. And he's selling it for charity, and I think that's a great move.
I
taking a negative and twisting it to a positive. Very good.
All right. Well, Kirk Kenny just texted me, friend of the show, said he's going to auction off his laptop from 2004 if anybody would like it. So, I mean,
I would like it if he broke a story on there. Was something important?
It's the same laptop that he did all of the Kevin O'Connell games from, Chris.
Okay, I don't know. It's got to have something good on there.
He also is offering his credential from the 1985 CIF football championship.
I like
now,
it.
Now, are there any NFL players in that football championship?
Who was it? We need to find out who was in that game.
I was at that game. I'm trying to remember.
You were at?
Yeah, 85. I would have been there. I'm thinking Vista Helix, maybe?
Wow. Are you serious right now?
I don't know. Kirk will tell you if I'm right.
I'm going to look it up.
Vista Helix was around that 85 time.
Yeah, Kirk's listening, so it was...
they were around like the 2000 time, too. Both of those teams.
Southern Section, I would assume?
Southern Section 3A Championship.
Why didn't Kirk just tell you? He texted you all this information?
He has to wait for Kirk to tell you. What, are you going to look this up?
No, he just... Yes.
We got a show to actually do. We can't be
I'm looking for 1985! Kirk, just tell me. Anyway, there you go. That's it.
All right.
Very weird, though, that people will buy an iPhone used to tweet.
I don't think so anymore. I mean, if people want to feel like they're part of something.
People buy a lot weirder stuff
than that, quite frankly. Yeah. Anything. People like this memorabilia thing. I'm not a big, you know.
You know, you should. You are. I mean, you have a mini helmet for every team in the NFL. That's memorabilia.
No, that doesn't belong to anybody. That's just belonging to something I bought, and it's mine. I didn't
That's
get it because
still
it,
memorabilia.
All right, well,
it's not memorabilia.
I perceive memorabilia to be like a signed this or that by somebody.
All right,
I kind of feel the same way.
All right, see, he agrees. Tony agrees on that.
I have a Deion Sanders signed card from when I was a kid. I mean, what am I going to do with that?
You hate Deion.
Hate Coach Prime. Do not hate Prime Time.
Well, same guy. It's the same guy.
No,
you hate him.
You've said he's different, right?
No, I would say he's different in better ways as a coach.
Mm. I think Sweetwater is one of the teams from what I'm seeing.
84, Sweetwater played Vista. I'm almost sure that was 84. That's why I'm thinking 85, Sweetwater had moved out and Vista had moved on. But I could be, you know, it's around there. See what Kirk says.
Do you realize that... What? This was the year that I was born.
I happened to be alive at the time. Sorry,
that is
that.
Wild to me.
Sorry, Padres went to the World Series a few months later,
1984. Same field.
That's awesome.
Actually, Padres went to the World Series before Vista and Sweetwater played in the 84.
Really? They got done
final.
They got done before?
Yeah, because the World Series would have been October of 84. Vista-Sweetwater final was in December of 84.
Wow.
I'm thinking.
Oh, yeah, I guess
end
so.
Of a high school football
you're right.
season.
That's right. That's right. So, that's right.
Yeah, same stadium, though.
George is asking, Tony, what's your most prized collectible? I think I know which one it is.
He loves his. He's got the jerseys, Tony.
Oh, I was going to
Is that what you're
going to
go
with?
Oh, go what do you got? Which one?
Pujols? I have a signed Kobe jersey.
Oh, wow, that's pretty
that's
big.
That's what I thought he was
going to get. That's pretty big.
But I also have a, well, my dad gave it to my wife, this basketball that's signed by Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Whoa.
So
he hasn't signed like a ton of stuff.
No wonder Tony doesn't let you into his house. He's worried you're going to abscond with some of his stuff.
I don't even know where to sell it, Chris.
I bet you can
figure out a way to sign a Michael Jordan ball.
I haven't even taken the Kobe Bryant jersey out of the box that it was given to me in. I haven't hung it up or I don't know. I just haven't got around to doing it, I don't think.
I'm the worst memorabilia keeper ever because I think I told you this. Your dad gave me a pair of his gloves time.
Oh, and you used
and
them.
I went out and used them for my Sunday baseball league. They're signed and everything. And I just used them.
I definitely did that as a kid.
Yeah.
My dad got me a couple autographs. I definitely used bat and ball.
I needed the gloves. It's more important. So
that's an 80s baby right there and a 60s baby right there. That's how we got down.
My
that's
dad it. Has a he was a huge fan of Kareem when he was growing up, and so he has a signed Sports Illustrated cover by Kareem. That's like a prized possession.
Okay.
Still don't know what to do with
see,
that.
Like
well,
I
hold
do-
that. Hold that thought. Hold that thought. Let's get the break.
Yeah.
Hold on the other side, we can talk a little bit more about this. We can also talk about SDFC taking down the Galaxy in a pretty exciting match.
Hell yeah.
Get to that on the other side.
More can Quinn you tell we have traffic. A new fan in studio?
That's right. We're soccer crazy now in San Diego. We welcome you back to Gwen and Chris. 5:20 is the time. Sure, the Padres lost a spring training game today, but what about the San Diego Football Club? What a performance last night, Tony Gwynn Jr. in the
Indeed.
Opener, not just the season opener, but the historical franchise opener. They go on the road. They play the defending champs. They whoop them. 2-0. It should have been worse, Tony. I don't know if you did you get a chance to see any of it?
No,
Apple
I only
TV,
saw the highlights.
Apple TV did show it for free, which gave me a chance to watch it. And we dominated. It wasn't even like 2-0 was the score, but they had more chances than that. The LA goalie made a goalkeeper, made a couple of saves there that kept it from getting much further out of hand. So I mean, I told Scraby it'd be like an expansion team going into KC and beating the Chiefs and beating them big. LA Galaxy did not lose a home game last year. They didn't lose a single home game. But they lost last night.
That last goal was sick. I saw the pass to get it there.
What a run he made. Yeah.
Whew, that was beautiful. Now, I do know that, or at least I've been told, I'm not going to sit here and act like I know, but I've been told that the Galaxy lost a bunch of their better players in free agency due to the way the salary cap works in MLS. So I don't know if it's as strong a team as last year, but either way, it's a fantastic win to start off your first season as an expansion team. Now they come home, right? And they play
Saturday, St. Louis. Saturday is the opener, 7 o'clock. Scraby and I were scrounging for tickets earlier. There are certainly we were online looking for tickets. We were not, it was too expensive for us because we're cheapskates for sure.
I was called a cheapskate.
But
too.
I mean, yeah, it's going to cost you a little something to get in, but
$87 is not a cheap price. Okay.
Scraby,
and again, I'm not saying it's the football club's fault. It's MLS's fault. Sorry.
Maybe we all here, man.
Anyway, you can get tickets. There's some available for the game Saturday. By the way, does anybody know the musical artist Thames? Does that ring a bell to anyone? T-E-M-S.
I know who Thames is.
You do? All right. Grammy Award winning. Also Oscar nominated singer. She's from Nigeria. songwriter, producer Thames has joined SDFC Ownership Group as a club partner.
All right.
Ahead of this season, Thames wrote, I guess on her social media, "Hey, San Diego, it's Thames. I'm so excited to be part of SDFC. I'm thrilled to join San Diego's ownership group, be a part of a club that celebrates creativity, culture, and community. Football unites people." Anyway, she's excited.
Yes, yeah, she did. She joined her and someone else joined a couple of weeks ago. I'm trying to remember. It was another celebrity. Same day, almost. It felt like they both joined.
Don't see.
I'll figure out who it is before we get it going.
Whoever that is did not make this story, but I know that we are at the San Diego FC, SDFC is at the top of the table right now, Scraby, in the Major League Soccer. Awesome.
It's fantastic.
Hey, it's a good start.
I'll be going to the game on Saturday.
Great start.
Scraby's going to the game, the opener, Saturday night.
Are you really?
He's going as a media guy. He's certainly not paying the $80 fee.
Oh, I was about to say, you were just complaining about the $80. Now you're going.
Well, yeah, I don't really want to tell people that, but I guess I should be honest and just say that, yes, I am going with a press pass.
Oh, you wanted to keep your We Are the People kind of badge going there, and you realized that you're using your power to find a way into the game free there, huh, buddy?
You ought to keep your credential in about 20 years. You can sell that sucker.
That is a great point, Chris.
Yeah, when the SDFC wins its 20th straight MLS title, you can say, I was at the first match. Here's my credential.
You've changed, man.
You would have never
taken a free pass before. You would have stood in line and paid your money. Now you're just gonna skip the line and just head on into the game, huh?
You know, I've worked for free for like most of my radio career, so I will take advantage of these things when I can.
SDFC is listening and is handling the seating box arrangement for the press people on Saturday.
Don't listen to this guy.
Understand that Scraby really isn't doing anything.
That's
at
not
the
true.
Game. He's just going there to be seen, so you can put him kind of in the back.
Chris
row.
Acts like I am really this matter. Huge, like outgoing person, where I ended up just like hiding in the corner.
But
forever.
What are you going to do at the game? Are
I'm going to go and I'm going sound? To take pictures. I'm so going to. I'm going to put stuff on social media.
You're working. I
on Monday,
see you work.
You're going to come back, and you're going to have like two segments of stuff for us.
You'll have a wealth of stuff to bring in?
I think I can have one segment, but two segments is stretching it.
I mean, I got to take
at least four pictures, Chris.
Four pictures you're going to take. Wow. All right. That's
I'm glad you're honest there, buddy.
Certainly worthy of a credential, if you ask me.
Well, to be honest, I mean, I'm going with Adam. Adam... like, does all the work. I ask him if he needs help, and he says he doesn't. So I just go and walk away.
Tag along with him?
Yeah, I will be there to help him. But, you know, if that game's a little bit of a blowout, might be heading home a little bit early.
What's a blowout? 2-0?
I don't know, honestly. Yes, Tony, you pointed at us.
Issa Rae, that's who it was, who is the she's an actress and producer.
Okay.
Director, I should say. She's the other...
the other celebrity part of
that
the
joined
SDS.
That same day. Yeah.
I'm kind of upset because today, of all days, would have been the day to wear my, you know, my jersey.
Your jersey.
I mean, come on. I should have worn it with pride today.
I thought about it, too. I actually looked at it in my closet.
I forgot to wear it. I thought about it.
I'm not mad at what you got on, though.
Hmm? It's good.
I'm not mad at what you got on, though.
Speaking of San Diego State, though,
proper.
Tony, I had the ultimate... Mm. The ultimate rant earlier, and you got to get in on this.
Sure did.
And Mark Ziegler gave me publicity on my rant in his article today in the paper. Wait till you hear about this, Tony.
Does it have to do with the officials?
Of course. What else would it have to do with it?
I could have predicted
that. After the Aztec game Saturday night, of course it has to do with the officials, but not maybe in the way you think.
Let's talk about it on the other side, for sure.
We will.
This is your turn, so.
Yeah,
well, Scraby, we got 30 more seconds to hunt before we can go.
We can't go early.
We're going to be naming the biggest fan when we get back.
people are a little crazy with the biggest fan thing.
They really are.
Like, it's 5:30, yeah, and people start getting mad when it's 5:20 that we haven't announced
it. But we do.
Like,
well,
why are you getting mad?
True.
We don't announce it early. It's 5:30.
There is some false advertising that we can't figure out because we're saying we're giving away at 5:30, but we've been instructed to be in a break at 5:30.
Yes,
so.
I know. We're not supposed to be on the air at 5:30, so... But look,
that doesn't have anything to do with it at 5:20.
Right, that doesn't change the fact that people are complaining when it's 5:20.
That's true.
All right. Stick around for the biggest fan announcement, which will be in your future as well.
Listen up. Congratulations to today's biggest fan, Comer Mosley of San Diego. Give us a call back within the next 10 minutes. 833-288-0973, and you'll qualify for our grand prize. 20 tickets for you and your friends for a night in our Odyssey Suite at a Padres game later this season. Remember to register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan.
All right. Comer.
Comer.
Yeah.
Comer Mosley.
I've never heard of Comer either.
But we want to hear from you, Comer.
You're on the clock, buddy.
10 minutes. Scraby is tight on that clock, by the way.
I just started.
He does not play around.
No, he does not.
Tick, tick, tick. 9 minutes and 3 seconds.
All right, Tony, let me give you the story real quick on the Aztec game. So the other night, I don't know if you saw the beginning of the game when Guath got injured.
I didn't see it. I heard about it.
All right, so he goes down under the basket. The stupid referees do not blow the whistle. The Aztecs run up the floor. Then Utah State gets the ball. Then they run down the floor. The Utah State guy goes up, dunks the ball, almost lands on Guath. The Aztec trainer, Sergio Ibarra, is actually out on the court, basically under the basket, trying to shield Guath from any further damage. And these officials,
they won't blow the whistle.
They didn't blow the whistle. And, you know, Dutcher's losing his mind after. Anyway, I tweeted in the wake of this. And I was not pleased. And I said basically that these officials embarrassed all of us out there who officiate. And I said, no excuse will do. Mark Ziegler wrote that tweet in his story today in the paper.
Nice.
He said, local talk radio host Chris Ello, a longtime high school basketball official, unloaded on the three-man officiating crew.
I love that.
Posting on social media. But I don't know if you saw, but I was really angry, and I said earlier, I think Dutcher, although he's not the guy to grandstand normally, I do think you have to make a call, and you have to say, look, I mean, these officials have to be held accountable in a situation like this. Can't be letting a guy, a star player, I mean, Magoon Guath is headed for stardom, and he's underneath the basket. Scraby said, look, if the Martinez guy dunked the ball, he could have injured himself, falling on Guath as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you got the Aztec trainer runs right out on the floor. Trainers know not to run out unless it's a serious, you know, injury. And the official was right there and did not blow the whistle. And I was apoplectic over all of that. So,
I mean, listen, when I heard, I mean, in a lot of the Aztecs losses this year have, you know, we haven't been hearing too many of blaming on the refs type deal. That's all I heard after this last Utah State one.
I know.
It was one of those type of deals. And, you know, you and I have talked about it a while. We are not fans particularly of the Mountain West and their officiating. It seems to always be on the Aztec side of things, too, that is the part that's irritating.
The thing that also irritates both you and I, Tony, is the fact that in a lot of these games, as was the case Saturday night, they call everything, right? On both teams. But, I mean, there's just a parade to the free throw line. And as I was watching the game, I was thinking to myself, you know why that when the NCAA tournament comes around, teams like Utah State go in there and get their butts kicked every time? It's because they don't get these same calls in an NCAA tournament game.
That's a great point.
And the Aztecs,
great point.
On the other side, the Aztecs know that in the NCAA tournament, you can play a little more aggressive, physical defense, and you'll get away with it. And the Aztecs are able to take advantage of that. But a team like Utah State, I think, is waiting for these calls. There was 54 free throws in the game, Tony. That's absurd.
That's crazy.
It's absurd. Crazy. You know, the Mountain West officials call it way too, you know, soft. And when you get to the tournament, Utah State will get crushed again because they're not going to get these
calls. That's why the Aztecs have had more success.
Yeah,
is because
for sure.
they're built for it. So
yeah,
it's disappointing. But you know, I'm gonna have to go back and listen to this rant now. This is when was this rant? Yesterday?
No, today.
Or
well, the tweet
obviously.
Was the tweet
today.
Was last night, and then I went into it.
Today
it
was
on the
around like 2:40.
Yeah. But I was.
Oh, he
I
used
was,
your tweet though.
Okay, I was. Yeah, yeah. I was enthused by the fact that Ziegler. I didn't ask him. I didn't tell him. But he just used my tweet. I was like, yes.
And then me not even anyway. Knowing about the tweet, I texted Mark this morning to get him on this week, and he goes, "We have to talk about Chris's tweet." I'm like, "What is this tweet?" And then yeah. Chris talked. Oh, Ziegler used my tweet.
He did. He used it. I liked it. I was excited. I want the Mountain
awesome.
West put on notice. I mean, that was unexcusable. And the game bothered me enough, but that's just normal complaining. But, you know, right, when a guy's right. lying under the basket, and you could get seriously hurt, obviously, if somebody lands on you, and you've already potentially torn your ACL. We don't know what the final analysis is on Gwath yet, but when he's lying
oh,
there
wait.
in that kind of situation.
Is that a possibility?
Yes.
I haven't heard that.
Oh, yeah, it's a hyperextended knee for now. But he's having an MRI today.
They haven't had pictures yet.
No.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, he could be done for the year, and that could basically kind of torpedo the season. But
wow.
It wasn't.
Oh,
it
not happy note.
It obviously wasn't
yeah,
bad enough
wow.
for them to blow the whistle.
I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't bad enough for these. Never mind.
Whoa.
I almost called them a name, and I don't want
to
stoop to that.
Cattywampus. Cattywampus referees.
They were all over the bar.
let's check some traffic and then get to the Padres. PPP.
It's time to ask the experts, Padres fans.
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Write us, tweet us, Facebook us, send a carrier pigeon for Chris. He thinks they're cute.
Aww.
Padres Pen Pals begins.
Hurt the pelota big time.
Now. 97.3 The Fan.
All right. Before we get into it, this hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Robert Half. 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Our recruiting professionals utilize an award-winning AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today. Read that a couple times and did not read it very well there. So we're going to leave it right at that. And we're going to get into the Padres pen pals. We actually have some positive pen pals today, guys. And we'll start with this first one. They are blaming the San Diego media for something. So let's get into it. I'm not really blaming you guys for this, but I am saying collectively, the media in San Diego really had me thinking this team was going to be awful in 2025 all offseason long. This team actually seems to be looking okay. My question to you is, Chris, you're up first. Did the San Diego media create the doom and gloom narrative in this offseason?
I can't speak for the entire San Diego media. Can only speak for the people on this show. Who kept reminding everybody that the offseason was not over until it was over. But I think the negativity that you're feeling out there doesn't come so much from what the Padres didn't do as opposed to what the Dodgers did do. And I think people took what the Dodgers did, especially getting Sasaki when the Padres really wanted him, and kind of put that down as a, wow, this was a terrible, it's going to be a terrible year. But all the while, the Padres still have all these players back, and they've added some nice pieces, and they should still compete, which I think we said all along, through all of the negativity.
All right, Tony, do you believe that San Diego media is responsible for the doom and gloom narrative?
Well, this is a tricky question, I think. I think the answer is that if what you consider media is UT, The Athletic, you know,
radio,
your main radio, like your mainstream, I would say no. But I think in 2025, you also have to consider the blogs, the different outlets. And so if you're including that, then you have a mixed bag of negativity.
I never even considered that.
Versus what the old, I guess, idea of media would be. Because I think for the most part, I mean, I've read most of everything that's coming from Kevin. I've read everything that's mostly coming from AJ. I've read everything that's come from Dennis. And they're just reporting what is actually happening. So where is the negativity coming from? I would say in some of the newer media in San Diego. But I would say the large majority of it comes from Twitter or X. And that's where, you know, the most of the negativity comes from. I can't think of very many media outlets, old school media outlets at least, that had any negative stories in terms of painting a bleak picture outside of reporting what was actually happening at that time.
I didn't even think about what you said, and you are 100% right, Tony. At first, when I was asked this question, I was like, well, our show, no. I know of other shows in the city that do the doomer thing, but you're right. It's the blogs. It's the people within the blogs that are making this doom and gloom narrative, because I have read those
blogs.
That's
where I've seen it. That's where I've seen most of it.
Yes.
But I honestly would say that it's more Twitter than it is anything else.
They're getting confused.
The doom and gloom, yeah.
Adam Klug just texted me. Negativity comes from social media. It's true. I mean, it is something that.
Wow.
But
boy, Adam, firing up.
I know. He's on Twitter for the station a lot. He sees a lot of negativity.
Yeah, he is. He's on there.
But yeah, the blogs. That's really interesting. I'm gonna go back and tell this person that. Do you read those blogs? But anyway.
Yeah, I guess it just depends on where you get your news from.
Yes, that is true. There are many different news sources.
Right.
I am new to Padres baseball and trying to get into it. There's something I keep seeing on social media, and that's fans saying the Padres are at a disadvantage because they don't have a TV contract. Tony, what does that mean, and is it a big deal they don't have one?
They aren't the only ones that don't have one. Let's just say that. Is it a big deal? It's a big deal in terms of what? Whether the Padres have some extra cash laying around? Yeah, it probably would come in handy right now if they had a deal in place. And so, yeah, I don't know what the fix is, though, honestly. We see that local baseball on television seems to be floundering a little bit. Like, it's not really taking hold outside of the big dogs that have their own network. And so, you know, this is going to be one of the greatest feats that Manfred has to somehow pull off. I think this is his legacy right here. Can he figure out a way to get this TV thing in the right direction? I think that's what we'll remember him for, honestly. Like, if he gets it right, it's going to be huge for Major League Baseball. If he gets it wrong, it's going to hurt.
As you said on Friday.
I don't know what that entails, but it won't be good. I'm sure of it.
As you said on Friday, you were saying about the whole money thing. Gosh dang it, it just left my head. Darn it. Darn it.
Welcome to old age.
What were we just talking about? TV contracts.
TV contract.
Rob Manfred is practicing business malpractice if he let ESPN go with the $550 million a year and doesn't have another deal.
I think we were saying
the
article was saying that, yeah. That was saying that
if he doesn't have another deal in place, then that's malpractice. Yeah. But you're right. This is what he's going to be remembered for. And I don't want to be him in this situation. That is for sure.
I mean, listen. You either the, you know, the cream rises to the top, or it's not going to. And I think for him, he seems to be confident in this. So I don't know what he's got, but I feel like he's got something that's going to bring him in.
Anything to add, Chris?
Just one question. As of right now, because I honestly don't know either, are the Padres on TV this year on the Padre channel? Or has that not yet been determined?
I think it's going to be the same as it was last year.
Okay.
So, where I think you have a cable option if you already paid for the Padres package, and then you could also go online and purchase it from the Padres themselves.
All right. I don't care about the rest of the people out there. Only want to know if I can watch Padre Days.
I think that's how we all are.
Right. I'm not thinking of any of the other
people. I mean, you should have seen the anger in my face last night when I tried to watch SDFC, and then I realized I needed Apple TV for SDFC.
I was good.
I don't care about myself. Don't worry about it.
Everybody out there don't care what's going on with you. But
sorry.
If I can see it, that's all that matters.
I'm good.
All right. Last one from me. I got an Eddie Rosario jersey.
Wait, this is from you?
No.
This is from you?
I realized that. Yeah. No, this is from a fan. Yeah. I got an Eddie Rosario jersey last year because I think he's going to be a big contributor to the Padres going forward. I saw some promise from him last year, and I'm seeing the same power so far in spring. Chris, do you think Eddie makes the team on opening day?
I gave you my 26-man opening day roster about a week ago, maybe longer. He was on it.
Any thoughts of taking Yuli Gurriel off the list?
It's a little early. I mean, are you going to make a decision based on 4 games?
No, I'm just asking your question.
Because if you do, then Oscar Gonzalez is the starting left fielder, and you know that's all said and done. But long way to go. I think Gurriel's got a good shot, but there's a lot of guys. I must say, the Padres have done a good job of making it competitive for a lot of guys. You know, it's not just there for the taking. Those last 3 or 4 spots, and that's good. Competition creates, good performances.
Yeah.
So
brings the best out of people.
Right.
You put your right foot forward, Chris.
Or your best foot.
Hey, Tony, before we get into this, when you walk...
Oh, God.
What?
See the kind of things you miss when you're with Jesse?
Well, Jesse brought up... I'm not a physicist like Jesse. He's bringing up gravity in Seattle versus
this
Miami.
Straight. Go ahead, ask your question.
When you take a step, which leg do you usually lead with?
I don't know. What?
Nobody knows. You go right leg.
Right?
Yes! Scrabby's... You put your right foot forward!
It doesn't mean... Just because it doesn't mean I do it.
Right, it doesn't mean I do it all the time.
Scraby thinks he's onto something. He thinks every human being on Earth, when they start to walk, steps first with their right foot.
What if their left foot... What if their left foot left dominant?
He doesn't care about that. He is
convinced I've never seen a person
that everyone starts with their right foot.
What?
I've never
Scraby,
seen a person...
You've never actually paid attention that hard. Come on, dude.
Gonzo says everyone does both. I don't believe that.
I think that's probably more accurate.
All right, Tony, do you think Eggy makes the team on opening day?
I think he's got a good chance. I do. We 4 days into this bad boy.
Do you think he's the MVP of the Padres?
Does he win the spring trading Golden Steve Arlen Award or whatever they call it for best spring player?
No, I think he's got a good chance. I think a day like today where he's facing a righty, you know, and does what he does, I think that's a step in the right direction. But quite frankly, everybody who is competing for that spot has played pretty well. So go figure.
That is true. Emma Key says, that's how you tell if someone is a goofy-footed person. You push them from behind. If they step with their right first, they're goofy. Do you know what goofy and regular is, Chris?
I know what. Goofy regular?
Goofy and regular, do you know what that is?
Goofy and regular? I don't know, but it sounds like something you have to do with. I don't know. What?
It's like if you're skateboarding, snowboarding, surfing, it's like...
Goofy-footed
means you're left-footed first.
I would think, yeah. What Padre said this?
Oh, okay, recently. Yes, we're done with the Padres pen pals. Thank you.
Recently, Padre said this, and I quote it. Last year, the umpires were terrible. Everybody knows that. The umpires call everything a strike. We want to walk, too, but they don't help us. They help the pitchers. This year, I am coming to take a lot of walks. Let's see if the umpires are coming good this year. I don't want to put excuses, but they were bad last year.
Wow.
You want to guess which Padre said that?
Was that a recent?
That's a Padre
now?
Yeah, it's right here in black and white. According to, I believe, is a Kevin Acey thing. Kevin
I'm going to talk about a guy who doesn't get many walks. Luis Arraez? It doesn't sound like something he would say.
That is what he said.
Really?
According to this, last year, Luis Arraez said last week at the Peoria Sports Complex.
Wow.
In the UT.
I should have thought of Luis, but I didn't think he would say nothing like that. Yeah. Go ahead,
he
Luis.
Seems like such a nice guy. He wouldn't take shots.
Luis, I'm taking all shots. All newcomers. Let's go.
Here it is.
I got two healthy thumbs. Y'all not stopping me this year.
And he said he's going to walk. See, he didn't want to make excuses. He's kind of putting a little blame on the umpires for why he didn't walk in that statement anyway.
I believe him then.
Interesting.
I don't think he's an excuse maker.
No, he's not, and I love the guy, and I hope he's not.
And even in all of the times that he was considering those coaches, those umpires bad, you would have never known because he didn't turn around and say anything to anybody.
Right. He's not that kind of guy. I wanted to just
wanted to wait till Kevin Acey got out there so he could put it out there.
That to Kevin.
Doug Gettings somewhere is angry.
One of our brethren in the sports casting world, Al Troutwig, may know that name. Did a bunch of Olympic stuff. He's a little older than you guys. 68 years old. Passed away today.
68.
Did a lot of stuff in New York. Did a lot of international sporting events. And I remember Al Troutwig. So good broadcaster. Sorry to hear of his passing today. We good?
Yeah,
everybody good?
Sad, yes.
All right.
We good.
All right. Scraby's Chronicles are next. Tony Scraby tomorrow with Sam Levitt on the fill-in.
That's right.
He'll probably do so well, you guys won't ask me back. Enjoy the rest of your night, everybody.
People can only hope.